Welcome, welcome to Freaked Out with your co-hosts, Liz and Landon. How you doing?
What's going on, everybody?
Well, it has definitely been one crazy week. We have been preparing for new episodes and are looking to do more exclusive content on Podbean. But we will discuss that in further detail next week. Just know that there may be more than one episode a week if you are subscribed to me in the patron portion of Podbean. I also wanted to give a shout out to a friend of mine by the name of Katie. Now, I asked several people on TikTok, especially on one particular TikTok video, to provide me with caseloads of children that are still unsolved or missing. And she offered me a boatload to look through. So thank you for that. You truly are a wonderful friend.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. So today we're going to focus on a story, not only a case that Liz helped with at the time, was also one she holds near and dear to her. This case and the result of them were what pushed her to focus on missing person cases. Liz is now going to go into some details about this case so everybody's brought up to speed.
Thank you, Landon. Alrighty. So this case is in reference to Rory Hache. Rory was 18 years old and was reported missing in July or August of 2017 by her family members. Not exactly sure when that went up. Her family had not heard from her, and everybody was worried. Now, around this time, maybe September, I had been doing readings for probably about 2 years at this point, and somebody from her family had reached out to me directly. I had only worked on one other case, and I appreciated the vote of confidence, so I decided to take a look into it further. Now, this type of reading was not a service I provided, but I felt like Rory's presence was around me, and I just felt very drawn to the case from what I had been hearing around town.
Of course, it's close to home.
Right away, almost as if Rory had led me to her family, or vice versa, she put all her faith in me and my abilities, and I was like, oh my god, okay, you trust me that much, you know? She was a strong spirit, which was strange for me because I didn't have a lot of mediumship at that point. And she was also invested in having the situation solved, even if it came from her and doing it her own way. The afternoon that I had spoken to the family, I decided to do my little investigation. Now, what I used to do back then and also what I do now was take a pen and a paper and just start writing and basically allowing the words to just flow. She showed me that she would be found in water and that she also showed me that this was only the beginning of this case. I obviously decided to inform the family. The first thing I had mentioned was that, of course, she would be found in the Oshawa Lake area in the water. The second thing I told the family was that this person was going to get caught. So on September 11th, 2017, a boy and his grandfather were fishing in the city harbor when they had made a discovery of a woman's torso floating in the water.
Wow, scary.
There was a lot of speculation that this, in fact, was Rory Hache. They were not confirmed, though, until November in relation to making a positive ID on her. This was already a disturbing situation, and not all of her body parts had been found. So Rory wanted everyone to know that the next part of this story was all because of her. On December 29th, 2017, a plumber was called to the residence home of a man by the name of Adam Strong, where he lived in a basement apartment. The plumber, who had gone to the house, had gone to the upstairs apartment. When the plumber had arrived, he discovered a fleshy-like substance in the lines, and this was not something he was used to by any means. He decided to contact the police right away.
Anybody would.
Right? When the police arrived on the scene and knocked on Adam's door, he looked at the police officer and stated, "Okay, you got me. The gig is up. It's a body." The police were stunned. Now, keep in mind, Adam was not even anywhere near being a suspect on the list in this particular case. There was a huge tent outside of their house, and they were collecting numerous amounts of evidence. And they had been there for a couple of months. I remember passing by a lot, and it looked like they were there for a while.
Absolutely.
It was announced on the news, and at the time, the media had heard that there was body parts found in a basement, but no one was sure of who it was or who it belonged to. I believe it was only a few days later. I don't exactly remember when, but I was at a friend's house hanging out, and the group of friends actually included Landon. I had received a text message asking me again from Rory's family questions.
Yes, yes, I remember that day.
Okay. Well, she asked me if the person in custody was responsible for her death of her daughter, and I hadn't put the clues together. I was kind of spacey at that point, so I basically told them I would let them know when I felt something. I remember racking my brain back and forth, talking to you guys, trying to put the pieces together, trying to figure out what Rory was telling me.
Yeah, we were looking at maps and waterways and everything of the downtown Oshawa area.
She kept telling me yes, but I didn't understand what she was telling me yes about and who it was. I was also around a lot of people, so I needed to get back to my comfort zone and try to channel her on my own. I remember I was sitting next to my dog and distinctively heard Rory say, yes, it was Adam. I frantically got up. I remember instantly looking for my phone and I couldn't find it for a second. And then I heard something else. He killed me and others. I sent the family a message saying, yes, it was him. And yes, he would get convicted. They had another question for me. The question was, was she pregnant? And because she had stated that he had killed others, I only assumed it was what she was trying to say.
Yeah, yeah, you can tell.
So I responded with a yes. Not long after that, it was confirmed that the fleshy-like substance the plumber had found and other body parts were confirmed to be Rory Hache's. Social media went crazy.
I mean, anybody would. You just found flesh, like flesh in a drain.
I think pretty much every single person in Durham region searched up Adam Strong on Facebook and creeped his account and just went to town with comments. He had a lot of really creepy photos, including abused women, pictures of him holding knives.
You just look like a creep.
Exactly. Now, when they took Adam into custody, he was not talking at all, nor did he give any details to the police. He was trying to, however, wager his time in prison. He was willing to give up details about Rory's case if he received access to the internet.
Yeah, because he wanted to be internet famous.
And he wanted to control the situation.
Yeah, definitely. That's why he wasn't talking at all, which I think was probably one of his bigger mistakes.
Exactly. At first, they did not have enough evidence to charge him with what they wanted, so they started off with charging him with improper and indecent interference with a body for the time being. Later, his charges would be upgraded to first-degree murder. Now, during the investigation, with the thorough job the police did, they were able to obtain some DNA that did not belong to Rory. They were able to find DNA of a second woman who had also been reported missing, but in 2008.
Wow.
9-year difference from Rory's case.
That's a long time.
Exactly. The remains belonged to a woman by the name of Candace Fitzpatrick. I remember looking at the photo of Candace back then, over and over again, and thinking that there was something familiar about her, but I didn't put the pieces together until much later. I actually used to work with Candace's family, her mother in particular. I did readings for her sister. I remember I did multiple readings for her sister, actually. Now, this was years ago, so I don't remember exactly what we discussed on the readings, but I am 100% certain that Candace came up in a few different times during these sessions.
Wow. What would you like to share about Rory before she went missing?
Rory shows me that she was having a lot of fights with so many different people in her life at that point. Her friends, her family. She said it was her fault. She blames herself. She says that she was having a lot of mental health issues and she just didn't and couldn't grasp certain things going on in her life. So she started to shut people out. She liked to disappear and make people worry. It made her feel like she was cared about. She had a lot of guilt about that, and she wanted everyone to know that she was truly, truly loving of her family, and that she knows her family loved her very much. She shows me that she decided to take a walk near the creek. I feel like this particular creek, there were a lot of people that were homeless usually around, or drug addicts, and she was trying to obtain something like marijuana. I feel like she knew a few people, and so she just kind of went there to see if there was anyone she knew. She shows me that she had seen Adam there before. She shows me they had never had any sort of conversation, but he did spend a lot of his time talking to sex workers or women looking for drugs. She showed me that he even offered the sex workers food and shelter for a few nights. The person that she usually runs into wasn't there, so she decided to wait around a little longer and see if they would get there. Now, she shows me it was just the two of them, but there could have potentially been one male in a sleeping bag near the vicinity. And no, he never came forward. She shows me that she had an arm folded, giving him the impression that she wasn't interested in speaking to him. She found him to be repulsive and creepy, but he was being nice. He did tell her that he could help her out and give her some food or money, but he didn't have anything with him that she could have taken from him in that moment. So he was like, oh, you can come to my place. I'll give it to you there. I feel like it took some convincing, to be honest, because I don't see that she was a willing participant in going anywhere near him. However, since her friend didn't show up and he was giving her some options, she decided to go for it, even though she was totally creeped out by him. He kept talking about takeout food and that he would buy her some, and then that his favorite takeout food was like Wendy's or something. He was trying to be extra friendly. She shows me she knew deep down inside it was wrong, but she also shows me she was super stubborn and wanted to prove that she wasn't scared. I feel like he was making statements like, you're not scared, are you?
What a creep.
I feel like he let her inside of his apartment right away. And although it was dark, when she got inside, she felt grossed out. There was an awful smell seeping through. She shows me that she was coughing all in there. It was just a constant, like, trying to stop her from gagging. She shows me she turned around to leave and he had shut the door on her. She shows me that when the light came on, it was actually not really a light. It was pretty dim. She noticed there was a large piece of garbage in the middle of the floor and then surrounding. She didn't notice the weapons right away, but as she started to look around, she noticed them, and it did start to scare her. He had made some statements to her about how he was lonely and how it was nice to have someone here, and it had been a while since he had anyone there, especially a girl that was as beautiful as she was. He had never had anybody like her in the house, he said.
I mean, he looks like a creep.
Oh my God.
Acts like a creep.
I feel like at this point she was pretty straight up with him. I think that she didn't hold her tongue, telling him that she was not interested in staying and that she didn't even care about the food. She just wanted marijuana and to go. She was also very adamant that her family was expecting her and told him that she was not into old fat men. He was not happy about how she was treating him. I feel like he started to get a little bit more aggressive with her, and I see that he held her down with his body while he took her arm and aggressively chained her to the wall.
Scary.
She shows me she fought her hardest. He tried to barter freedom for sex. He started to cut her in unimaginable areas. I feel like he raped her, and I feel like she continued to just make him feel like a bag of crap. She says that she tried her very hardest to escape. She even said she screamed and he gagged her. He gave her drugs to get her to submit so that she would shut up, because it was very difficult for him to obtain the goal that he was looking for here. She says she tried to make him paranoid, calling him a monster, warning him about her family and what they would do to him. I feel like he kept her alive for 3 days, but I also feel like he tortured her in that time frame as well. She never let on. She never let him win. She stayed strong till the end. I feel like this was a routine for him. She is definitely not the only woman by any means that was trapped by him in that place, or other places for that matter. But he had to start getting rid of the body. I believe he took her body to the harbor within 24 hours of her death. I feel like he went at night to dispose her torso.
Yeah, nighttime seems to be the best time.
Adam Strong was also someone who was into cannibalism, and you can only imagine what he did. But I do see, though, somehow in his very sick and twisted mind, that this was part of his routine. Made him feel closer to the victim somehow.
That's absolutely disgusting.
She fought all the way. And even after she passed on, she haunted him. And still does. She wanted everyone to know that she made him super paranoid and kept telling him he was going to get caught every single day.
Good for her. Wow. Okay. We will get back to Rory later on. But I have a question for you. Do you feel anything about the other victim from 2008?
Candace was in a very similar predicament in the sense of how he approached her. I feel like he had seen that there was a very upset woman in front of him and he offered her the world. Made her feel good about herself. I feel like she also felt like he was super creepy, but just something about the way he spoke to her that allowed her to feel a little bit more comfortable. I feel like he kept Candace around a little longer. She wasn't as angry towards him. She used more of an approach of being kind so she can get away from him, letting her be a willing participant. She did try to talk to him and talk him out of keeping her, but he said he wanted to keep her around for company. My mind is just flooded with pain. She showed me that she was in a lot of emotional pain and she wanted her family to know she was sorry. She said that she had just recently started to shut down and wanted to die until she really was ready to die. And in that moment, she didn't want to. Her death wasn't as intense, but it was fairly similar. I don't see that he removed any of her body parts to other locations. I do feel like he kept most of her preserved for a while. The images of this disturbing story are swirling in my mind and are difficult for me to wrap my mind around.
I know the case has been solved for these two women, but my next question is, do you feel like these two women are the only victims of Adam Strong?
I wish they were, but honestly, I feel like this stems from a long line of women. I feel like he had done this at least to 15 other women. I feel like it started off very simple, at least in his perspective, where he would just rape them. And then I felt like it escalated, where then he would kill them. And then he started getting curious about the body. So I feel like he started to want to do more. His fantasies became darker and darker. I even see a young Adam being inappropriate with women. I feel like he grabbed women's breasts without reason. I also spent weeks and weeks of my time trying to pinpoint more women connected to him. But here's the reason he got away with it. He chose women who were homeless or sex workers or women who had no family. He would get to know his victims to find out little details about them because he knew it would never get traced back to him, at least at the beginning. He stopped caring so much as time progressed. I feel like he was rather cocky with everything, to be completely honest. But with that being said, I'm not going to stop from trying to find more women connected to him. I believe they will surface. Until that point, there is one woman that I was able to pinpoint that I believe genuinely connected to Adam Strong. She goes by the name of Jane Doe, unfortunately, because no one's been able to claim her. This Jane Doe had been found October 27, 2006, in Bowmanville. There had been no other details other than a man harvesting dogwood plants in a marshy field discovered the skull and femur and scattered skeleton remains of a woman with no hair or no clothes. I feel 100% sure that Adam was involved in this, and Rory also confirms. The issue with this particular case is that the person who drew the photo at the beginning of this case did a terrible job of the skeletal remains and was lacking any sort of details to anybody. This was not at all what she would have looked like today. Recently, though, I think they realized their mistake there, and they changed her photo from September 28th, 2021, to a better understanding of what she looked like. From what I believe, she was someone who was also a sex worker, but I feel like she was running away from an abusive situation, and I feel like he knew that area particularly well, and he took her body there. I feel like she was in Oshawa at the time he picked her up, and I feel like she was scared about her boyfriend coming back and hurting her, so she went along with this man. Imagine being that scared.
I mean, for real, though. She thought one guy was worse, this guy was better, and he ended up being worse.
I feel like Adam raped and killed her. He was not interested in the cannibalism, or at least, at this point, or dismemberment. I feel like he would collect items that belonged to the women. He would take their jewelry and carry them around as trophies. I feel like he was very lazy and sloppy, so he misplaced a lot of the items, but I do feel like he did have them for quite some time. Every single one of his victims. If I do ever feel any other victims, I will definitely make another episode in relation to that, but I know that there are many, many more. I don't necessarily know if the police will ever connect this particular Jane Doe to Adam Strong, but I do feel like they will at least be able to identify her. I'm not sure if the right person is going to be the one to identify her, though, or not. I'm thinking maybe that crazy ex of hers. The Jane Doe person, I feel like her name has some sort of connection to the name of Harry or something Henry, and maybe a Harriet. Potentially.
Well, hopefully somebody comes forward. Does Rory have any other messages?
She found me. She trusts me. And she did die angry as all hell with her baby. So she wanted to stop at absolutely nothing to make sure that her case not only was solved, but that her family would find the answers that they needed. She sees how unhappy her mother and her family members are every single day, but she wants everyone to know that she is there. She says that she made her disappearance hard for Adam. Very hard for her to be disposed of. She made sure he couldn't get rid of her. She screamed names at him, telling him he was going to get caught. She laughed at him. She used to mock him until she was able to spook him, so much so that he got into a frantic position. He felt like they were all coming for him, taking huge credit for all this for her. She's showing me that she would come to him in his dreams. That's the way she would approach him. She says with the help of me, we're going to find these other victims, so I'm hoping for it. She also wants people to know that her family never stopped trying and kept fighting for her. She says she never showed her family how much she loved them. She always felt like she was the black sheep until she went missing. She realized how much she actually was loved and how much love she had for her family. She says it everywhere. She loves music. She shows me that when she was a kid, she loved to make up silly little dances. She loved her life. She wants her family to know that. And her mom gave her a good life.
Wow. Well, thank you for that, Liz. I know how invested you were in this case all the way to the end. I remember the day that we got the verdict of this trial and he was found guilty, never to see the light of day again. And I remember how we celebrated.
Hell yeah, we did.
I know that case was very, very heavy. So we're gonna change gears here a little bit. You got any celebrity gossip or any predictions you want to touch base on?
Yes, actually. There's a few things I saw recently. Does anybody remember Hyde from That 70s Show?
Yes.
Well, his name is Danny Masterson and is currently on trial for sexual assault on potentially 5 accusations. I genuinely believe that he was involved in raping these women. I do feel like he doesn't see it that way because it was like a sexual game for him. I do see that he will be charged, however, a lighter sentence, as the evidence will not be enough, sadly.
Wow, that's crap.
I feel like he had so many witnesses, see certain behaviors based on his fame. And I really, really liked the character on the show, so this story definitely saddened me.
I mean, for real, though. So you have any other feelings on any other gossip going on?
Yeah, let's go into it. Do you remember watching or hearing of the show Sister Wives?
Yes.
All right. Well, being so interested to see all different types of way that people have families back then, I felt like I needed to watch this show. So I did. And my goodness, things have changed a lot since then. I obviously feel like the show really did ruin their relationship, their dynamic.
Absolutely. It usually does with any sort of family show like that.
Right.
That digs into your life.
Exactly. I feel like eventually every single adult, other than Robin and Cody, will no longer be involved in this relationship. I feel like these two are going to stick it out and everyone else is going to leave. Even though a lot of the kids are pissed off on how Cody's treating their mom, I feel like they're going to kind of keep all of those feelings in, except that one recently. I also feel like a little bit later, so maybe like 5-6 years from now, the family, well, the kids, are going to do their own TV documentary. I feel like it's going to be called something like Surviving Sister Wives, where basically a majority of the kids will call Cody out on his dirty laundry and even a few mom secrets. But I feel like there's so much more of this to come. I also feel like one of the kids may end up coming out as trans, and I feel like that will also end up being something pretty traumatic later on. But I'm not sure on the details as of right now. I'm going to say, like I said before, 5-6 years for this to start to unfold. I feel like Christine and Mary will end up finding new partners, eventually having husbands again. Whereas Janelle, I feel like she may just date somebody, but she will definitely keep them at arm's length. I know you guys want me to discuss the Duggar family as well, but that will be for a later date and maybe potentially some exclusive content.
Yes, yes. For our patrons account.
Exactly. Well, that's everything I have for you guys today.
Thank you guys so much for joining. We truly appreciate all you guys. Keep on listening. We'll keep on bringing the cases to you and everything that we see.
Thank you guys.